T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hill bends, spins, shoots. It's short. Rebound grabbed by J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith dribbles it to the far side, throws to Hill. The game is tied at 107. We're going to overtime. We've got 5 more minutes. What a crazy finish. J.R. Smith thought they had the lead. He dribbled it out to midcourt.
What is he doing?
Well, that's J.R. Smith.
A radio.com sports station. Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck back Monday. Ryan Horvath. This hour, post game meets the morning show. We'll talk to Billy Schmid. We'll talk to Tim Allen. Should they be buyers? Should they be sellers? Why that conversation is as true today as it was true a week ago. And then also, how many pieces away might this team be? Coming up, Tim's going to be in for Bill today, and they're going to ask a real simple question. And I love where they're going with this coming up. Are the Brewers good? Are they a good team? They'll be doing that on the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill, 10 to 2 today, right here on The Fan. Remember, also 1250 on the AM and the radio.com app. All right, we took you back to May 31st, 2018 to start the hour. That was J.R. Smith. Game one against the Cavs were the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. Was watching that game at Bronze Powerhouse over in Stallus after a kickball game. Watching it with the kickball team.
Ah.
No kickball this year. We did not play. The league got too, you know, you get in these leagues and then like one team ruins it for everyone because they're like.
Too good.
Too good. And they also take it very personally. It was too much.
How do you scout for that sport though?
Well, before the game, we couldn't get any, like we couldn't, they were doing warm-up lines.
No.
And not like as a joke.
They took it that serious.
Oh, yeah. They had matching jerseys. Apparently, this team would go to tournaments on the weekend. And then we were just like their... I mean, it's beer. I'm a 32-year-old guy at the time playing kickball on a Wednesday night in Milwaukee. You think I want to sweat?
No, I don't.
No.
That's actually why I quit softball. Because my friends were getting way too invested. We were playing in these weekend tournaments. Once we had like the matching uniforms and guys were dropping $350 on a bat and sliding in, like I knew it was over for me when some guy tried to wear the cleats on the field and slides into me at second base and I can't go to work the next day because I'm hobbling and I got a sprained ankle.
There's been too many guys that have missed time. Too many offices in Milwaukee that have lost manpower because of a softball injury.
I mean, guys take softball really seriously. And it's fun, and I get why. Like, you're reliving your glory days, but I just never got into it.
That was J.R. Smith, though, who was in Milwaukee. Could still very well be in Milwaukee. He was here yesterday, spotted at the airport on Twitter. And there's been some rumblings that the Bucks could be interested in a guy like J.R. Smith. He would have to be signed to a minimum deal because that's all the Bucks do have left. Mm-hmm. Kyle Korver, I mean, we all want Kyle Korver if he could come here and shoot. I think what the Bucks are going to do if they have some of these spots available, because I think that the rest of Giannis's brothers are either under contract or in high school, so they can't be on the team. And I don't think we have any Lopez brothers left to sign, so I think we're all tapped out on brothers to sign. So if you sign J.R. Smith, you could bring somebody in here who could be a shooter. Now, the Bucks do need shooting. If they had better shooting in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, we're still picking up from the parade on Wisconsin Avenue. But they didn't. So adding a shooter would be good. Mm-hmm. J.R. Smith comes with, I guess, baggage. J.R. Smith seems like he's maybe not the smartest guy in the world.
You could say that. He lost me a lot of money in that game one when he didn't know how much time was on the clock. I remember I went Cavs money line. I'm like, they're going to lose the series, but they're going to take game one. Yeah.
That did not happen.
And then LeBron just offed him pretty much. LeBron, I love watching the clips of that. I was just watching this actually on YouTube, and they go back to the huddle. LeBron won't even look at him.
Oh, yeah.
He was ready to rip his face off.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you do want to bring in a guy like J.R. Smith, I saw this story years back when the WWF was going to bring the NWO back. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hulk Hogan, when Hogan fought The Rock at WrestleMania. And before they did that, because they had a, they were, you know, they were bad in the locker room. Like, guys didn't get along with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. So Vince McMahon went into the locker room and talked to every wrestler, and he said, hey, let's take a vote right now. Would you guys be cool if we brought back the NWO? Everybody voted no, and they still brought back the NWO. But that's like what the Bucks should do if we get a name like this, like J.R. Smith. Everybody's like, oh, you know, I wouldn't want Russell Westbrook coming to Milwaukee. But what if you went into that locker room and you said, let's take a team vote. Giannis, do you want Russ Westbrook? Do you want J.R. Smith? And he says yes. Give him what he wants. Like, I feel like we give these players, like, we don't know J.R. Smith. So who are we as fans to say, he's terrible in the locker room, doesn't get along with anybody? That whole summer when he was parading around with no shirt, everybody loved him. Kevin Love, all those guys. LeBron loved him until game one when he forgot how much time was on the clock.
I do have a problem with how quick we are to judge some of these guys.
We don't know them.
And then how that always stays with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like when something happens, and the one I'm going to go to again is Cam Newton.
Probably the best guy off the field. The stuff that he does
Cam
for kids.
Newton is amazing.
Yeah.
Cam Newton's a very good football player. Cam Newton's really good in the community. And Cam Newton, as a young man, he lost the biggest game of his life, and he didn't want to talk to the media after the game. And that stays with him for some reason. Like, the people still view Cam Newton as a problem or a troublemaker or not a good locker room guy, and that's going to stay with Cam Newton. And there's a lot of guys where this happens. And J.R. Smith, what, he throws soup at a guy?
Yeah, we don't know the story. Yeah, an assistant coach? Or was it Dante Jones? I don't even remember who it was. I barely remember that story.
These things happen, and we immediately write them off. But if it's going to make – I'm just at the point where if it's going to make your team better, then go for it. Because the Bucks did not make their team better.
It was a couple years ago when Giannis told an assistant coach he would F him up on the sidelines. Like, these, you're in combat almost when you're playing sports. Like, I don't care about things like that. You don't know what happens.
Now, is the topic who would I rather have as a babysitter, Malcolm Brogdon or J.R. Smith? You know, probably Brogdon. I'd probably trust Brogdon more with my kid than I would J.R. Smith, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about who's better on the basketball court, who can make your team better, and the Bucks did not get better this offseason, no matter what John Horst wants to say.
Right.
They didn't, and they got worse, and so what they need to do is acquire anybody that you can to make them better, and there's good, you know, J.R. Smith is the type of guy that is left, mm-hmm. by the way, in the NBA. Yeah, would you rather have Kyle Korver?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Kyle Korver. I think he can contribute more in bigger minutes. If you sign J.R. Smith, when's he going to play? Is he going to play big minutes in the finals?
No.
No. Is he going to play big minutes in the playoffs? Probably not. Is he going to play as there was a Twitter guy, Paul on Twitter said, J.R. Smith is going to play for Tuesday nights against Charlotte in January. Giannis is going to sit a bunch. Mm-hmm. Middleton's going to sit a bunch. Bledsoe's going to sit a bunch. Let them sit. Let J.R. Smith eat up minutes. Pay him nothing to be here. And if he's a problem, get rid of him.
He's a fan favorite. People in Cleveland love J.R. Smith up until game one of the NBA Finals a couple years back. And that's exactly my point. Like, you're never going to have to use him. He's just the 12th man. So do you want your 12th man, 13th man, to be Tim Frazier, who's never done anything in this league? Or do you want it to be J.R. Smith, who's hit a lot of big shots in key moments and won a championship? He's not a locker room guy. He's not going to come in there and be a leader. Bucks aren't going to be down 15 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he comes in and says, guys, I was in a similar situation like this back in 2009. But he's hit some really big shots, some really clutch shots. You're not going to need him to do that. But if worse comes to worse than you do, I'd trust him more than Tim Frazier.
Yeah, and I think with where the Bucks are too, with them having a chance at these guys that are left. These are minimum contract guys. If you have to get rid of them, it's not going to be that bad. If you think that J.R. Smith is so bad that he can come with the Bucks and then not work out and they get rid of him like in November, If you think he's so bad that just that time here is going to ruin the Bucks, then what do you think about the Bucks? How can a guy be so terrible? Oh, he's going to make Giannis bad. He's going to ruin the team. Then you don't think that much about what the Bucks are right now, because then you're saying they're so, like, on thin ice with their emotions and their strength and their bond as a team that one guy could just ruin it in an instant.
And it's all just because of the off the court, or just, you know, he's, as you said, he's not the smartest guy, but you lose Brogdon, which sucked. We all wanted Brogdon back, so that ship has sailed, though. Why was everybody so excited about Wes Matthews and then so distraught over J.R. Smith is what I don't get, because whose career would you rather have? They have similar statistics.
Because J.R. Smith didn't go to Madison Memorial High School.
Wes Matthews is a career 13-point-per-game guy, and he shoots a career 37% from three, identical to J.R. Smith. So really, what's the difference? One guy's won a championship and played with LeBron James, so he knows. Like, LeBron commands more or demands more out of his teammates than anybody. That's why some guys, playing with LeBron isn't for everybody. It wasn't for Chris Bosh. He got his rings, but Chris Bosh was a pick-and-pop four. LeBron wanted him posting up. Same with Kevin Love. He wanted him banging down low in the paint, not popping out to shoot three. So LeBron demands a lot from his teammates, and I would say Giannis is going to be there too. If not already, Giannis demands a lot from his teammates, especially he's going to next season, because at times, when we saw it in the playoffs, he kicked it out. He let his teammates try to take over games, and they couldn't do that. So Giannis is going to have to be even more aggressive. So I feel like J.R. Smith kind of knows what it's like to play with somebody like that.
William,
we're talking about the 12th man.
We are. This isn't the third part of a big three here. We're talking about the 12th, 13th, 14th man. William says, get him. He can defend and shoot. His attitude is overblown. We have a vet-heavy locker room. He'd be a low-risk guy on a contract. Get him.
Right.
Tim says 100% get him. For a team that needed more players to be able to knock down shots last year, we haven't addressed that need at all, and we got worse in that area. We lost Brogdon and Nico. Bring in JR. Hell, bring in JR and Korver, and let's get it going. Jim says, and there's a lot of comments on Facebook that just say no, 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 no. Jim says, wow, plenty of people don't want a knockdown shooter. Damn, our fans are idiots. You could chime in facebook.com/1057FM The Fan, 1057FM The Fan Twitter, Instagram as well. We'll be chiming in next week at Perkins. Are you good for Thursday?
Yeah, man.
Okay, we're going to go and have a little show.
Meeting of the Minds?
Yeah, well, you mean Freem's going to go out to Perkins next week.
Maybe we could invite J.R. Smith.
If he's still around, he was at Cobb's yesterday. If he's still around, we'll invite him.
I'm glad I know now that I could drink milkshakes and eat custard and eat hamburgers, because J.R. Smith, man, say what you want about the guy. He walked around with no shirt for a full year. He keeps a nice frame, so if he's pounding down some custard, I think I could probably keep mine.
Well, you can even get some real healthy stuff at Perkins, too. We're talking about shrimp. We're talking about the shrimp pasta primavera. We're talking about the Southwest avocado shrimp salad, which I've already put in the order for Chuck on that one. They've got the Shrimply the Best menu at Perkins right now. Six different coastal-inspired items at Perkins, where you can head in there anytime this weekend and take advantage of that. If you do head in on Saturday, Tuesdays as well, Tuesdays and Saturdays after 4, you get a meal and your kid gets a free kids meal after 4. Tuesdays and Saturdays, you get a meal, kids get a free kids meal. Kids eat free Tuesdays and Saturdays at Perkins. You want more free? How about some free state fair tickets? How you can win those today on The Fan. Next.
Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been.
All right, James. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, taking a bit of a shot at Urban Meyer, no longer the head coach at Ohio State University. Urban Meyer is going to be on the Fox football pregame show. They're trying to challenge College Game Day. So what's going to happen this year is Fox is using, because they've got a college football package and ESPN does and ABC does, Fox is putting their biggest game of the week, including Ohio State Michigan at some point this season, at the 11 o'clock hour. So you won't have to wait until 7 o'clock, because normally the biggest games have been on Saturday night or that SEC one in the afternoon. Fox is putting all their prime time, all their big time games at 11. And then, like, at night, they're going to show, like, Washington State versus, you know, Oregon State or something.
But Urban Meyer is going to be part of that pregame show, and the speculation on him is a couple things. Is he going to come back and coach? And even though he says he's not, he probably is.
He will.
And then will he be critical towards Ohio State and some of the guys he knows, which in the past, when he was on ESPN, he did not do. So that's where Urban Meyer is now. And with him out of the way in the Big Ten, more people are looking at Michigan to be possibly a representative for the Big Ten in the college football playoff. And with Urban Meyer out of the way, Jim Harbaugh doesn't mind taking a shot or two at Coach Herb. So that leads us to our question today, because that's a big rivalry that a lot of people care about, even if you're not invested. What non-Wisconsin sports rivalry are you the most caught up in? Use the hashtag CWTickets. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Your chance to win tickets to the State Fair. It is a four-pack of tickets that you can win. Again, tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag CWTickets. I like the NFC East. I like watching games in the NFC East. I like watching the Cowboys. As much as we say they're, you know, forced on us, I like it. I like watching the NFC East. It just seems like rugged. These teams are always like 8-8. They're always mediocre, but also somehow good. You know, I like watching those teams play each other. I like it much more than the AFC West. I don't really get into the Chiefs and Broncos, and then the Steelers-Ravens one I cannot stand.
I'm bored with that, right?
That's always on prime time.
Always boring.
Oh, it's always boring.
10-3.
17-2.
Flacco, 13 of 97
yeah.
passing.
Yeah, not a fan of those. But I do like, I would probably go with the NFC East. I might also go with the Red Sox and Yankees. There's a lot of history there. I know. I enjoy those games. They went to London, man. I watched every minute of those games. It was back and forth. It was 17-15. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I did. I enjoyed that rivalry when Boston was the underdog, because I always just rooted for Boston to get over the hump. And then they're down 3-0 in the ALCS. They come all the way back the year that they win the World Series. And then it was kind of over for me. It should have gotten a little bit better, because you had Johnny Damon go over to the Yankees. He shaved the beard, so that should have made the rivalry better. But then I was like, and now it's just like, these teams are too damn good. Like, the Red Sox became the Yankees, almost. Like, I rooted for the Red Sox because they were the underdog. They didn't have the same payroll and this and that, but now all of a sudden they're the Kings. They're the Yankees of the AL.
Brewman says, Ohio State, Michigan for me, guys. Hashtag CW tickets. Crooksy says, I'm a Badger fan. I'm a Big Ten fan. I love Michigan and Ohio State. Sean on Twitter says, Army versus Navy in any sport. I don't like that game.
I don't either. Am I allowed to say that?
I don't know.
I like taking the under in it. I mean, it's at the end of the year, so I'm already depressed that I don't get a good slate of college football games. It's always the lone game. And, yeah, I mean, it's not for anything.
I know.
I mean, it's
well,
for,
if
I mean,
you're,
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
It is. We're gonna be fired for this.
I know.
We love it. Great tradition.
No, it's
the pageantry.
It's totally acceptable to say, listen, everyone, I say this without, you know, I'm sure you can confidently say, everyone at 105.7 FM, The Fan, supports the troops. We love veterans. All that's good. But looking at it objectively as a football game, yeah, it's not great. But you have to go on Twitter and everyone has to tell you that the two bands playing to each other is the best thing in college football. And it's awesome. I understand the place for it. But unless you really like watching somebody run the option in 2019, not a lot there for you.
Right. Like, I love my grandma, but I'm not going to the book club with her.
I think one thing that bothers me about that game is that what if they are playing, like, what if the BCS is still, or no, what is it called now? The college football playoff.
Yeah.
What if it's that's still in play for them? Navy always commits to their bowl game in, like, October, because they always want to play in San Diego because that's where a lot of their bases are.
Yeah.
But then if you're playing that game, they set bowls in advance. Well, what if they're in the playoff? It's a nice game. Maybe if it was not on its own weekend, because maybe that's part of it. I think if anyone should get their own weekend, it should be two teams that are good.
Right.
But they should play with the rest of the rivalry weekends.
Like, I also support policemen and firemen, and when they play their charity football game or softball game, like, I'll throw some money down into the pot for them, but I'm not going to watch it. And I'm not going to watch Army and Navy throw a combined three passes. Well, I'm sorry. I'm bored by it.
And Army isn't, like, it's not like it's always unwatchable football. Army almost beat Kyler Murray in Oklahoma last year. They took him down to the wire. I mean, Navy has come out and blown the doors off a couple people because it's like the old
Notre Dame.
It's like the old Georgia Tech thing of, like, you're not prepared to defend that option. So it's not like they're just innately boring teams, but that game in itself, yeah, it's not like they're two Power Five conference teams.
Al on Twitter at 105.7 FM, the fan, says Red Sox Yankees. I watch every time I get the chance. Chris says Cubs Cardinals. Love to see them beat up on each other. Chris works over at Miller Park. She's a big Brewers fan, so she does like to watch the other teams. I don't really like watching Cubs Cardinals play each other, and I don't like watching the other NLC or the other NL Central teams play each other, just like I don't like watching the other NFC North teams play each other. I hate watching the Bears Lions. I have to see these teams twice a year already.
Right.
I don't want to watch them again and then play each other. That's worse. Like, you give me Bears Patriots or Bears Chiefs or Bears 49ers. All right. A little different. Bears Vikings. I see those guys play each other. Gross.
I'm with Bodie where, like, growing up, one of my favorite rivalries was obviously Brady and Manning. I almost root for individual rivalries more than team rivalries at this point. You know, I mean, Bird and Magic, things of that such. But now we don't really, like, everybody's buddy-buddy.
Well, Brandon tweets in, I love the Curry-LeBron rivalry. There's something to that one.
In 3 years, they'll probably be playing together, though.
yeah, right. Sadippy? Seems like something I can't. No, it seems like something I can't say. Does Federer Nadal count? Absolutely,
it's a good rivalry.
That's a good one.
You know, I'm gonna miss Harbaugh Urban Meyer. I think it might get better though now with Urban Meyer in the broadcast booth. To tell you the truth, and this is what I hate about Urban Meyer. While we're on this topic, really quick that I just brought up myself, is that Urban Meyer every time that he gets himself in a little bit of trouble and there's a little bit of controversy, like let's go back to his Florida days. He recruited Aaron Hernandez. Just look at that lineup card. That police blotter that he had on that team. And then he covers up a domestic violence. You can say what you want about the guy. Great head coach. But every year we hear about, well, I just want to spend more time with my family or my health isn't, you know, isn't all there. And then he's back in the broadcast booth. He's not even spending time with his family or at home resting up. So I just think it's all BS. And I also called Jim Harbaugh off on that a little bit, though, too, because you never beat the guy. So just shut up and be happy that he's gone.
Heather says, anyone versus America at the Olympics? KJ says, I don't like the Tar Heels. I don't like the Blue Devils. I love watching the rivalry. Texas versus Oklahoma comes from Splinter. And just like it did last time we brought this up, it will dive into wrestling. Rock versus Stone Cold. Hashtag rivals. A good rivalry that I've been enjoying watching over the last few weeks is David Stearns versus making any moves to upgrade his pitching staff. We'll have a little post-game show meets the morning show. We'll do that next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final. The Brewers and the post-game show meets the morning show.
What's up, boys?
Morning.
See, playing that is funny now because it's not when it's supposed to be played.
See how that works?
That's funny. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Tim Allen, Bill Baby Tausch Schmid. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Morning, boys. I thought that was, it is a final for a short night of sleep.
Yeah, that too.
So last night, it could have been a lot worse, though. We'll say this. The game flies through the first seven innings as both pitchers are absolutely doing their thing. That is an okay stalemate, though. I will slow down, and you can all hang out, enjoy Brewers baseball, and stay up for an extra hour when they're putting up four runs in an inning like that.
We'll take that. And so not a lot of sleep. We come right back in here with you guys. Should we go Hal McCray on him? And then we got to answer all these questions.
All these dumb-ass questions.
We got to answer stupid-ass questions this morning.
Asking all these dumb questions. I ain't answering any more of these dumb questions. We're waiting for counsel. We're waiting for Craig Counsell to do that.
Give us
and
one.
I think if they would have continued the slide a little longer, maybe five to six games, it would have been either Craig or Tim to go off like that during
post-game. No, it wouldn't have been Craig. Craig came back from the All-Star break, and I was in the first pregame scrum at Miller Park. This dude looked like he looked like when you're 18 and your girlfriend says yes for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I mean, that's what he seemed like with that little 4-day vacation. Man, was he relaxed and comfortable. Yep. And
God bless him.
Everything was good.
Good for him.
No, indeed. I think they lost that night, but
well, everyone's a winner
That. Did we have audio on the Aaron Boone? He freaked out yesterday, too.
Yeah, Aaron Boone of the Yankees went nuts, the manager. The audio is poor, and then it's basically one giant bleep.
Okay, gotcha.
But when he went out there yesterday and just was all over an umpire. A young umpire talking about how my guys are savages in that effing box.
All-time great quote, though.
All-time great quote. And Yankees don't market that.
That's got to be a shirt, right?
I'm sure Barstool Bronx or whatever
is all over it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. No doubt.
Over it. But, you know, you can say, well, why doesn't Craig do that? Craig has been about as. Post game, Craig is very, like, get me the hell out of here. But in game, Craig Counsell.
Dugout Craig is really, really a good time.
Dude is looking for a fight.
And you always see him on the top step. He's always got the foot, like, the second highest step. So it's
shrugging his
shoulders. It's unthreatening, right? It's unthreatening, but he'll move the shoulder up and down. And when they score, when you hit a homer, especially if you're a young player, Keston Hira gets the butt slap every single time. Now, Yelich just gets the regular high five. Like, okay, now I'm getting kind of tired of this. Let's score some other ways. But not by bunting like you wanted them to do last night with Keston Hira in the eighth inning.
I did.
Stupid.
Why?
You got the eventual lead run on the road at second base with nobody out.
With your best hitter at the plate.
It doesn't matter.
If he's your bunt best hitter, over. Why is he hitting seven last night?
Bunt him over, get him in. Hey, by the way, Ryan Horvath, before you say, where's my compliment? Horvath, you sound great today.
Thanks, Tim.
You
I
do.
Appreciate that.
You do.
I appreciate it.
Filling in for Chuck. You sound really good.
Are you saying that because I'm still on the Brewers bandwagon? They're winning the NL Central?
No, I'm just...
Okay,
because hey, man, you sound good.
Typical radio person. You give him a compliment. Well, why is that? What is that?
Well, that's why I cut his that. That's why I cut this guy off before I complimented him.
Well, even if the season starts today, the Brewers are in the postseason, the second wild card.
Yes, sir. Give me some of that.
We still have phone calls about them being sellers.
I'm not saying, okay, what you said this morning.
I said they're a piece away from being a World Series contender. Did you guys see Bumgarner last night?
What you said was, that was a huge win last night.
It was.
It was a win.
No.
Huge.
No, it's huge.
Huge.
In Arizona, game one, after a homestand, you go to Arizona, game one, look, you look like that.
I don't want to be prisoner of the moment guy where we come in here and they lose and we're selling and then they win a game.
Sure.
And it was a nice win and all of a sudden we're trading for Madison Bumgarner.
I think the biggest thing was you saw two things last night and one of them Craig Counsell called for over the weekend. You saw Lorenzo Cain be Lorenzo Cain. Maybe not at the dish, but in the field. And whenever you get a play like that, he said it last night, when you get a defensive play like that, you rob somebody of a homer. In football, when you take one back for six on a pick, that game is pretty much over. You house a kick, that game is pretty much over. When you get one of those outside-the-box scoring opportunities or you take points off the board, it's an igniter to your clubhouse, and they've needed that, and they've needed Lorenzo Cain to be that for the first 100 games, and he hasn't. The next 61, if he's like that, they are going to be a really, really dangerous team. And two, you saw them continue to put on pressure in the eighth inning and pressure in the ninth inning against the team in Arizona. You're trying to kick out of this thing. You're trying to put the foot right on the throat of the dying dog. Old school football. Yep. Oh, you got to put the foot right off. Put on the tyrant's heart. Get rid of him, Winks. You got to take that guy out.
And the other reason.
Get rid of him.
Yeah,
get rid of Arizona. We don't want them in this thing.
The other reason is that David Stearns, the GM, had said the next 2 weeks are going to tell the story here. That's why these games, we should live in the moment now.
David Stearns also said the team's going to indicate what's happening.
That's why the win is so much bigger.
Right. These 2 weeks, I'll completely agree with you, the two and a half weeks, this is the season right now.
Yep.
This is the postseason in the middle of the summer.
Love it.
Because you're going to find out, like, who's in it and who's out of it. And my San Francisco Giants keep ripping off victories, guys. That's six in a row now for the Giants. Don't sleep on them. And why they're my Giants is I told Freems, I said, you know what the Brewers did? I said, the Brewers are thinking next level, Chuck. Because the Brewers know that they're going to be too cheap to get Madison Bumgarner, and they don't want the Cubs or Cardinals to get them. So they lost a couple games to them to let them back in the race. And now they're right back in the race. But I think what these 2.5 weeks do is you are trying to figure out, are you in it? Are you not in it? Because after July 31st, that's it. You can't improve your roster. Shelby Millers, Drew Smiley's, these are the only guys out there anymore. That's it. So you need to decide right now if you're buying or if you're selling. And if I'm Stearns, it does sound kind of ridiculous to say sellers with a big win last night. But if I'm Stearns, there is not one phone call I'm not taking. Because if a guy wants to offer something for Mike Moustakas,
no, you got to listen.
But it could benefit your team this year. So what you could have with so many teams in it, instead of the buyer trading with the seller, you could have a buyer trading with a buyer.
The supply and demand is just not going to be there for all lower-level teams that are completely out of it to be able to
little
sell
scratch
at this
spot. My back, scratch your back.
Yeah. There's only like three or four teams that are like straight up out of it that actually have assets that anybody wants, right? Like the Baltimore Orioles, you got what you wanted out of there. You got Andrew Cashner. Now everything else is pretty much just
gravy.
Why
didn't we do that?
Once Toronto is done with Stroman and Giles, there's really nothing else you want from them. And San Francisco is the other one that you thought you were going to be able to handpick guys off of. And they're now suddenly in the race outside of Detroit. And same thing. What do you want off Detroit?
Boyd or Green?
Boyd or Green. Those two guys are gone. And if they package those guys to get a monster deal, you might be able to make a lot of hay with a couple of dudes, but the issue with Moose is I just don't think you get the maximum return that you should on a middle infielder. He plays either third or second base. That's a Brian Dozier deal. Like, it's not Anthony Rendon like it should be.
Yeah, but it worked out really well for the crew last year. So if you did decide you had a deal you couldn't turn down, what's wrong with Shaw coming back up at third, Keston at second, and we still off we're running?
Well, then the Brewers, that's the only problem, is they're going to have to make a decision.
Because
which
you
they
can't
don't like
trade
doing.
Travis Shaw.
They want that depth.
Mm-mm.
But they do have, see, the Brewers, if they have something, if they have a move that then they can still replace those guys with that move, they won't do it unless they have the depth to replace the guys that would replace the guys with that move.
But I think with some of this, too, is everybody believes that if you're trading somebody at the major league level, it's for starting pitching. I don't think that's really where they're going to be. Look at what the starters have done in the last 3 weeks. Tim tipped me off to it right away. And then Mike Vassallo tweeted out the numbers a couple of days ago. Like a 2.7 ERA in the last 3 weeks.
Amazing.
And you have two dudes at the top of your rotation. Granted, they are not Madison Bumgarner or Noah Syndergaard or Jacob DeGrom. But Woody and Davies are two of the premier starters in the National League right now. And you have them on your team, and they're both young.
It sounds
26
funky.
26 years old.
Sounds funky to say that, but it's true. That's the part of it where you do look at the numbers and say, whoa, look at this. Now, unfortunately, you have to look at the other numbers, too. Did you see Wade Miley's numbers down in Houston? He's had 20 starts this year. Only two of them he's given up four or more runs.
Mm-hmm. Two.
That's the problem that I brought up with you guys on the deck show last night, is you guys were kicking around Stearns' maybe biggest mistake of 2019. And I absolutely love the question you guys are going to do today, Tim, when you fill in for Bill. Are the Brewers good?
You have to decide that.
I mean, do you think the Brewers are good? I love it. But with David Stearns, it does seem like in his tenure that he manages the hitters and acquiring talent there differently than how they acquire talent on the pitching staff. Like with David Stearns, okay, he saw Christian Yelich. Saw that this could be Christian Yelich. He went out and got him. Paid four guys to get him. Everyone was like, wow, four for one? No, it was a very, very, very good one. Mike Moustakas, one-year deal. Grandal, one-year deal. Well, they'll come. You got to pay him some $15 million. That's fine. Let's do it. On the other side, you've not had any kind of trades like that for a pitcher. And Wade Miley, one-year deal. You got to pay him $5 million.
Well, actually, our numbers expect a little bit of a regression here.
Yep. They won't do the same strategy with their staff that they'll do with the hitting. And I don't know if that's because of the analytics. I don't know if Mark just doesn't want to pay money for pitchers. I don't know if they're overvaluing their pitchers. I think we've heard a lot that they like these guys better than the rest of baseball like them. Or if they just flat out decided, you know, like how some teams will decide, we don't need a good running back. We can do it within our system and get whoever. Maybe the Brewers just think in their system, they don't need a pitcher.
Most pitching staffs are comprised of non-homegrown talent, including this organization.
Yeah, you buy pitching.
If you look at it, I mean, these pitchers fly around. Zach Davies, not homegrown. Yoelis Chacin, Chase Anderson, Gio Gonzalez, all these guys, none of them. One, we get one, and that's Woodruff, right? Even Freddy Peralta wasn't the homegrown pitcher here. Once in a while, you do find one. I think they found one in Woodruff. You can't say that he's not trying, because he sort of is in the Drew Smyly, Shelby Miller, the Gio Gonzalez. He's trying to make good on what you had said one of his biggest mistakes was.
He's not buying lottery tickets. He's looking in the gas station parking lot to see if people didn't finish scratching off their tickets.
No, he's on like the ticket exchange websites. Like when you have a futures ticket that looks like, so like when Ohio State got boat raced out at Purdue last year, and you had them to make it to the college football playoff at 4.5-1, and they lose on the same night that the Brewers lose in the NLCS game 7, so you lose about almost a grand in one night. So then you put that ticket on a ticket exchange website, and somebody randomly will give you like, hey, I'll give you $40 for it, and you paid $270, but the off chance that somehow, some way, Alabama loses two games, you can cash that ticket in. Those are what you're looking at it, how they're doing.
But he hit the pay window with Gio. He hit the pay window with Wade Miley.
He's done it before.
Yeah. So now let's one more.
But
just
I like
one more.
I like how Bart's saying it though. It's your analogy to it is like getting rewarded for bad behavior, and some of it you want to believe is. But also some of it is, too, Tim, you have the opportunity to be the team with three homegrown starters. If the other two that haven't worked out this year do, look at what it did for a team that it did work out for in the San Francisco Giants. They weren't rattled off three World Series in 5 years.
They did. And you see where the Mets are, too.
Well, the Mets are the Mets.
They're a mess.
They have the best homegrown pitching right there.
They do.
And they're terrible. Exactly.
And it didn't work out. But to Bart's point on the offense, not only do I think they focus on offense too much, but I think they focus on left-handed bats way too much. That's been a big problem for this team. You see how lefties face this Brewers offense? They're not good against lefties, guys.
So
they're,
go get Felipe Vasquez and then just get that out of the equation. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
I would love it.
That dude is nasty.
What do you think? What do you guys think? Tim Allen, Billy Schmidt, Ryan Horvath, I'm Bart Winkler. What do you guys think as far as when the Brewers do make a decision, how much they do pour? And I don't want to be guy that's against analytics, because I'm not. And I think analytics has become the term for any number of any kind now. But I think that there was something that Council had said earlier, and again, it could be me reading too much into it as media guy. But Council was talking about how they wanted to move Hauser. This was when they moved him into the rotation from the bullpen. And he said he's been good. He's been pitching good. Our numbers confirm he's pitching good. And I mean, you look at this guy. He had like 14, 15 straight scoreless innings. You can make that decision with your eyes that he's good.
Yeah, no, but a lot of it's just like the spin rates and the cameras that they have
like,
tracking.
It seems
guys.
Like the what I'm saying is I don't know if the Brewers – if they have an opinion on a guy, like Christian Yelich is good, I don't think they're 100% confident in their opinion until they check some stat or check some number. And I think that every time that they want to make a decision, they can't just make a decision based on gut. They still have to go with their number. Like Chase Anderson against Josh Donaldson the other day, they took him out of the game. Was that based on gut at a guy who'd only given up one hit up to that point? Or was that based on numbers? And I think it was more based on numbers. I think a lot more of their decisions are based on numbers. And if you do want to call for a bunt, Tim, because there was a game last year I thought Manny Pena should have bunted.
Huge.
But they don't – it seems like they never go against the Rays. They never go on gut. They'll think about gut, but then they still have to verify it with the numbers. I hope what I'm trying to say makes sense.
It does. And I heard you earlier this morning say that you're managing 2019 with the 2018 role and personnel, right? And that's what they're doing.
Definitely.
We're seeing you're using last year's philosophy right. with this year's worse roster.
Right. So you have to now expand your philosophy just a little bit based on what you have. Watch the game, man. Watch your bullpen. Don't go to the bullpen so quick quite yet. Let's just hold off on that a little bit. Let's let a guy button up a six-inning sure. outing. Let's let a guy, like last night, Zach Davies. I was convinced Jeremy Jeffress was in that game in the seventh inning. I was absolutely convinced of it.
With the Chase thing, and I get it. I get the frustration. He's at, what, 94 pitches when they pulled him out with 5 2/3? But some of that, too, is it was a 1-1 game at that time, and the old-school philosophy of a guy that you're trying to get on a roll, you don't want to let him get a tough luck loss. He just walks somebody. You can put on another, or Donaldson, who hit a 2-run shot later in the game. All of a sudden, he leaves after 5 2/3 after a walk and a homer. What happened to Junior could easily happen to Chase Anderson, right? Can we all agree with that?
Yeah.
That Chase Anderson could give up home runs? So in that sense, too, I get he was moving well, but when you lose a battle quickly, the game can turn on you so quickly when you're in that late-inning game. But granted, you were bringing in Freddy Peralta, Tim. So to your point, you do have to manage to the team that you have.
Yeah.
But if this is their philosophy and they believe that this maximizes lower-level talent, we talked about it last year. Or you asked Craig about it this year, where you're asking, is your philosophy more on your talent or more on what the numbers say or,
yeah.
and what the philosophy is? A little bit of both. And granted, you don't have the better bullpen arms that you did last year, but maybe trimming down work usage throughout the year on
just,
the starters.
Just for now.
It's what it is.
Just for now, let them go a little bit deeper because your bullpen has been a little testy, if you will. By the way, on the Hauser thing, we all knew that it was a Band-Aid to Gio, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They just didn't say it that way.
Well, I wouldn't have moved him then. I don't like this back and forth, starter, reliever. Corbin Burnes, when he was struggling as a starter, he should have been sent down as a starter in AAA. And then if he figured it out, bring him back. And I understand that they wanted him as a reliever last year, and he was good. But if that's what you want, then keep him there.
That's my boy. That's my quarterback.
That's, kept that's him my there quarterback.
To start.
Possibly.
They should have just kept him in the bullpen and let him roll. What is the need that if somebody is a good bullpen arm, leave him in the bullpen? Josh Hader, everybody, for the last year, before now he's been a multiple-time All-Star and one of the shutdown closers in all of baseball. It was, I really think he's got to develop that third pitch, and he could be one of the best starters. Why can't he just be a bullpen arm? Same
right.
with Freddy Peralta. He could be a great late-inning reliever. With the kind of delivery he has and the fastball, the chain,
well,
the curveball he has.
Well, because you got to find starters somewhere because they won't go buy one.
Go buy it.
They won't trade for one.
They did this year.
Gio Gonzalez.
They signed him.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, it does.
What do you mean? His numbers are awesome both last year and
Gio
this
Gonzalez
year.
Gio Gonzalez has made almost $80 million in this league. You put some respect on that name.
Yeah.
Gio Gonzalez. The Brewers. You know, I will not let you give the Brewers credit for getting Gio Gonzalez.
Why not?
When they decided last season that they didn't want Gio Gonzalez.
But yet
they let him go.
You wanted Wade Miley.
So if Wade Miley would have got caught by the Astros and then
yes.
signed as a Brewer,
they would have brought him
in
again.
You don't give them credit
Maybe.
For signing Wade.
Yeah.
You let him go already.
You give him another shot.
You felt that you backslided into Gio.
The prodigal son. He comes back. He wanted to go, and he said, no, I'm going to go try to pitch for the Yankees. I always wanted to be in pinstripes.
It's like the night they traded for Kevin Mensch, and it was like WWE superstar down the
and
tunnel.
And it's still BS that they didn't have him make an appearance that game. He didn't pinch hit that game. He absolutely should have. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen because they had the cameras
sweet.
On him the
amazing.
Entire time.
It was.
And we're talking about Kevin Mensch like it was Albert Pujols in
right?
his prime.
And what did Kevin Mensch come in with? A whopping .243 average with 6 home runs.
His hat size was bigger than his batting
oh,
average.
Wow.
But that really? I think that brings up a point that Horvat was talking about earlier today, where you are in it right now, and I think that maybe last year's sort of. One game away. I know it is for me. I don't want to say I think because it is for me. Last year changed how I view about this year because if they had been bad.
Because you can't just turn the game off and restart it at Game 7 of the World Series.
No. So what I want is for that to happen.
Right. That's the frustrating part.
I don't want to go through it. You mean to tell me I got to go through a whole nother Bucks season?
I
got to
do
now?
The whole thing again?
I got to go through a whole nother Bucks season through yep. the East?
Well, imagine being a Dodgers fan and every single year you have to go through the journey of getting to the World Series only to choke.
I would have thrown the PS4 out of the window if I would have lost five straight championships.
Right. I would almost rather be in last place. I would almost rather be a Detroit Tiger fan, to tell you the truth.
And just be done with it.
Yeah, because look at the heartbreak.
Or if I was like, I'm going to go cheer for the Blue Jays.
Look at the heartbreak of Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And if you have to experience that next year and the year after and the year after, it's like I'd rather almost just be in last place and say, hey, maybe we end up with Zion, or maybe we end up with the starting
Horvath
pitcher.
Tomorrow is going to come in with a Baltimore Oriole cap on, 35 games under 500.
You can borrow my Jonathan Villar jersey that I bought immediately after he got traded there David Stearns in one of the worst moves he's ever made as general manager.
I did say yesterday, though, if the Bucks bring in J.R. Smith, I wouldn't touch him with a 1,000,000-foot pole. Then by about 5 o'clock, I had started to change my tune just a little bit. Like, I thought it might have been kind of cool. I will buy a jersey if he is on the Milwaukee
You don't
Bucks.
Like Cam Reynolds? Is that his name?
That's
I think we've decided that's his name, yeah.
Is that for your news and notes? Are you doing news and notes
yeah,
today?
Yeah, I got a Bucks for Bill. Bucks news and notes.
Tim's in for Bill. Gavin Lux. You guys are talking to Gavin Lux.
Yes.
At 11:35.
We are a Wisconsin native on an absolute beastly roll at AAA. 21 years old, from here, just knocking. Just
Coach Allen, I want to say five homers in a five or five.
Which, that story can't be true, because have you guys ever played in a softball league where you get to hit a second and it isn't automatic out?
Years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was unlimited.
Okay.
What happens?
I don't play in leagues where you have to be good enough to only hit like three home runs. No, I as many as you can hit in this league.
The only time I ever went some deep par twice, players. The second one didn't count. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, you only get the homer once, and then it's
really?
An automatic out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I ripped two in a game last year. I thought about retiring.
Bart, I know it sounds foreign to you, but this is softball we're talking about.
Like, it's been a rough day for Bart in the
beer
sport.
League
yeah,
softball.
Ross Tucker, Ross found Tucker out said, you player. Mean I just talked to a soccer player that doesn't drink beer? What am I doing here? Thank you guys
for
being here.
That's my favorite guy ever.
I know, he's the best. Thank you guys for being here. Chuck will be back on Monday. Tim in for Bill next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.